May it please the court, counsel, Gerardo Gutierrez, on behalf of Salvador Lemus Rodriguez. Your Honor, this is a case that was remanded once for resentencing, and the court had initially imposed a 60-month term, which was split 30 months concurrent and 30 months consecutive. On remand, the court lowered it in half, making it 15 months concurrent and 15 months consecutive. At the time that that we had argued, I had made an argument to have it considered time served, since he had already spent 45 months in custody. But at the time I was making the argument, I was arguing for an equitable relief when, upon closer examination, I should have argued a technical relief, meaning that in document number 9, it suggests that he, the defendant, had already been remanded into the custody of the U.S. Marshal Service. So in this appeal, I'm raising the issue of, indeed, he had served his time, whether concurrent or consecutive. Judge, he had already served 45 months at the time of sentencing in the custody of the United States Marshal Service.
Didn't all of that time count toward his state sentence?
All of that time did count towards his state sentence.
Okay, so why isn't the language of 3585B clear here, that it doesn't count toward his federal sentence?
Well, Judge, because at the time we were operating under the premise that that time that he had served had been served under the portion where he was in U.S. custody, U.S. Marshal Service. He had been remanded.
Who was operating under that assumption?
Well, I think that the court was. I was operating under that assumption, and counsel for the United States was operating under that assumption. That he, in other words, the assumption was that he had never been remanded to the custody of the U.S. Marshal Service, that he was just serving his state court time there. And whether the state's going to say, all right, that then doesn't count for state time, that's on the state. If he's in the custody of the United States, I believe that, and serves 45 months at the time of sentencing, that subsumes the intention of the split sentence. Now, the court could have said, you know, we're gonna have the 15 months consecutive serve from whatever state time that was counted. But in this case, I think that the parties were operating under the assumption that he had not been remanded.
Nevertheless, whatever the assumptions were, as long as he was getting credit for the state time, the statute seems to control this.
Well, let me just say this, Judge, and I don't want to make a second mistake here. I don't know if the state court time was running at the time that he was in the custody of the United States. That I don't know. I do know that the parties, meaning the court, the defendant, and the United States, were all operating under the assumption that he had never been remanded, that he had merely been writted over, that the time that he had been serving in Kankakee was considered state time. I can't address this court directly and say I know for certain whether the state is counted that time or not. All I do know is that Magistrate Judge Keyes remanded him into federal custody, that's where he remained in federal custody. That's it in a nutshell.
Mr. Gutierrez, what's your position on the government's suggestion we don't have jurisdiction?
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because, you know, the Court of Appeals has to have jurisdiction to be able to correct a sentence whereby, if my client's already served his 30 months, just in a hypothetical, if my client has already served 30 months of federal time In this case, we're arguing that he served more than 30 months of federal time. But if he served 30 months of federal time, then how can the Bureau of Prisons, after the state releases him, say, okay, well, hold on a minute, you still have 15 months more to go? I say that that clearly invokes the jurisdiction of this court, because there's still in the mind of the court, of the lower court, in the minds of the government, and in the mind of the Bureau of Prisons, he still has a 15-month attachment to serve consecutive to any time that the state says, okay, we're releasing Mr. Lemus. The Bureau of Prison can now go and pick him up so that he can serve an additional 15 months.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Hudson?
May it please the court, Nathalina Hudson on behalf of the United States. The defendant in this case was serving a state court sentence for criminally sexually assaulting his 14-year-old stepdaughter. At the time that he was indicted by the United States for illegally reentering the country, he was written into federal custody in June of 2008. He was remanded into federal custody shortly thereafter on July 23rd, 2008. But during that time, the defendant was receiving credit on his state court sentence. It's clear from the Supreme Court's decision in United States versus Wilson that the decision as to whether or not a defendant receives credit for time served is strictly in the hands of the Attorney General through the Bureau of Prisons. Therefore, the district court did not clearly err when it determined that the defendant should not receive credit for time served on his federal sentence. If there are no further questions, I ask that this court affirm the district court's sentence.
I think that's a brilliant argument. Go ahead.
All right, Ms. Gutierrez, do you have anything further? All right, the case has been taken under advisement. Our thanks to all counsel, and the court will stand in recess.